Muscle, the podcast is starting.
Hello and welcome to Podtrivia's Hotel, a Harry Potter read-along podcast. I am one of your hosts, Joe.
That was really good. I'm proud.
Hello and welcome to Podtrivia's Hotel, a Harry Potter read-along podcast.
It's a good thing I'm in charge of editing these.
Joe.
It's fine.
Can you say, and I'm Cassie?
I already did.
No,
we're here to do Chapter 13, The Very Secret Diary. This is going to be a weird episode, everyone. First of all, it's another late episode. And Joe doesn't listen to the podcast, so he doesn't know. But our other late episodes have gone off the rails a little bit. And the other thing, too, is that like this is a really important chapter, and I have a page and a half of notes, which is not a lot for me.
As always, my notes are as long as the chapter because they are the chapter. I highlight things.
Oh my God, stop. So we'll see how this goes. It's a tough chapter because there's a lot in here that we can't talk about without spoiling the entire book. So
how often do you want me to say wink, wink, nudge, nudge?
Never.
And then come
probably.
Back to it later.
I would really like if you never said those things. It's time for the chapter summary. It's Joe's turn to do it. And he actually wrote things down. I should probably be getting my timer out. He actually wrote something down. By wrote, I mean typed on his phone.
Which is the more economical way to do it. Because
not always, because
I
was
paper.
Typing things and then I just
you printed stuff out. That's not the right way to do it. That's a very wasteful way to do it.
Listen, the planet's dying anyway.
That's not a great mindset.
That's not true. We do our best to be good ecological people. There's 30 seconds on the clock for the chapter summary. Let me know when you're ready. Is this the... Yeah, that is the stopwatch. No, this is the alarm.
Okay. You want a count-up thing and you want to tell me when so that we don't get the noise.
Oh, okay. So
I'm switching to the other side.
Okay, now I'm ready.
Hermione recovers from being a cat and is released from the hospital wing. Harry finds a blank diary from 50 years ago in Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. It got there when someone flushed it. Harry gets assaulted by a buff singing dwarf dressed as Cupid, and the diary is covered in ink and shown off by Malfoy. Harry gets it back, and it's somehow clean. Harry writes in the diary, Tom Riddle writes back. Harry is sucked into the diary and shown a memory of Tom confronting Hagrid for opening the Chamber of Secrets.
That was like a couple milliseconds over, but I'm not fast enough to hit the button and stop you.
You're supposed to say stop
for
before
some
you
reason,
hit the button.
Yeah, for some reason, my brain, it has to be that I press the button and then say stop.
No.
Which doesn't make sense. Okay, that was a fine summary.
Fine.
You always waste a second at the beginning by inhaling.
Yeah, I gotta prepare
myself. You
have
to get
myself.
That ready before I hit the button.
I'll take a breath and hold it in and then...
And then just do it all in one breath.
Yeah.
Do you think you could do that for 30 seconds? I don't know what your lung capacity is. Probably not good.
Probably not good.
You had asthma.
As a child, it's probably fine now.
You don't know that.
I don't have an inhaler, so I don't have any backups.
Did you have an inhaler?
What you get when you have asthma.
Everything I know about asthma is you had asthma and whatever was in the episode of Arthur where Buster learned he had asthma.
What was in the episode of Arthur?
I think he had an inhaler.
Okay. So
all right. This is the chapter.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
How do you want to start off?
I want to talk about Hermione first, because I came up with a really good joke. Are you ready to hear it?
Well, starting off that way, I'm already very excited.
Hermione is in the hospital wing to be declawed.
Oh, you.
I thought about that literally seconds before you did the hello and welcome to my face, Dallas. I've been just holding on to it since then.
All right. Well, at least you haven't been like sitting on this since last week.
No, could you imagine if it took me a whole week to come up with that joke?
Well, not coming up with the joke. Like you came up with it and you've been saving it to get my initial reaction.
No, I do that though. I have like a bunch of notes in Google Keep of like, not
Harry Potter jokes.
It's not that sad. There's also like research and stuff that I want to bring up that like I'll stumble upon when doing research for other chapters. And then I'm like, oh, need to save that for Half-Blood Prince. But I'm pretty sure there are some jokes in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hermione is in the hospital wing, recovering from last chapter's events.
And I need to bring up the timeline here. So they did the Polyjuice Potion thing on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It was December 25th. Hermione doesn't get out of the hospital wing until early February.
Yeah, she spends a long time as a cat.
That is a really long time.
It is a strong and dangerous potion.
Yes, but like, and we talked about this last time about Madame Pomfrey not asking questions. When a kid is put in the hospital week for over a month, how do you not ask questions about this? How is this not a concern?
I mean, I'm sure she's concerned, but, you know, I think...
Not even just Madame Pomfrey, but like the teachers. If one of your students was like, yeah, I'm going to need to be out of school for a month. That's a big deal. That's a long time.
I mean, yeah, it's a concern, but I don't think that they're going to press her too hard. I'm sure someone asked her, and I'm sure Hermione came up with a lie.
Yeah.
I doubt Hermione was just like, oh, you know, I made some Polyjuice Potion.
Yeah, it's just, this was very strange. And it's also just like the timeline of this all. Like, what a big jump we get. Especially that, like, the holidays are kind of how we demarcate time a lot of the time with Harry Potter books, because we're not often given, like, it was a balmy January 16th. That, like, we kind of configure things out, at least, like, the month, roughly, based on where the holidays happen.
Yeah, we go straight from Christmas to Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's wild. It's very strange. Also, this is another small thing that I just want to get out of the way. And I know we have talked about this a lot, so I'm not going to belabor it or anything, but they are working on hair raising potions in potions class. What is the point of that? Why is that an important thing to learn?
It's great for hairstylists.
No.
Why not?
Why would Snape be teaching that?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know exactly what it does. Like, theoretically, it's for raising hair.
It raises your hair.
To what end?
Exactly. That's what I'm asking.
But like, does it raise it and then it keeps going? It grows hair, but straight up?
No, I don't think so. I kind of imagined it as like
spookier?
When you get scared and the hairs on your arm stand up.
Maybe it gives you like nightmares. Maybe causes some fear. So your hair stands on end.
Maybe.
Maybe it just sounds cool.
But like, again, they could be learning useful things.
I mean, we later find out that it's just a problem that they never learned a lot of very useful, healing things.
Yeah. Why are they not learning these? I know we keep talking about this, so I'll just stop. But I have entered it into the record that I have a problem with this.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the way that Hermione is gradually turning back to a full human.
Oh, it's horrifying.
Yeah. She's excited because her face now has no hair on
it.
Yeah. One of the last things she loses is her tail. And like,
do you think the tail fell off or like grew back into her?
I think shrank back down. Because
I don't like either.
Well, I would like to think that all the hair she lost, all the fur she lost, didn't just fall off onto her bed. I'd like to think that it just disappeared from her body.
Coughed up a hairball.
Well, that's from them licking the hair off.
Maybe Hermione had to lick the hair off.
Like off her forehead?
Oh, yeah, I guess not. Still, it's scary. Like, I feel really bad for Hermione, and especially that they did not learn anything last chapter that Hermione has to suffer like this for a month.
Well, they did learn an important fact that it's not Malfoy and they should stop focusing on Malfoy.
Yes.
They also learned that the Chamber of Secrets was, in fact, open before and it was 50 years ago.
And that's
which becomes very important when they find the 50-year-old diary.
Yeah, because Ron is just like, yeah, it's just a piece of trash. Ignore it, Harry. And Harry's like, wait, 50 years ago? Or is it Hermione that puts that together?
Well, Hermione's the one that like really voices it. Yeah. But Harry's the one that's like, oh, this is important. Let's just hold on to this empty diary.
Yeah.
One of the first things I highlighted was Hermione's get well card, which Ron grabs from underneath her pillow. It's in a gold envelope.
Yeah, it is.
It's from Gilderoy Lockhart. And the whole thing he writes is just to Miss Granger, wishing you a speedy recovery.
And then the rest of it is just his list of honors.
I know. Like, so for my job, I have like a signature that I have on emails, but it's a saved thing on my computer. I'm not typing it out every time. Gilderoy Lockhart spent the time to handwrite out
in his lavender quill or whatever it was.
From your concerned teacher, Professor Gilderoy Lockhart, Order of Merlin, third class, honorary member of the Dark Force Defense League, and five-time winner of Witch Weekly's Most Charming Smile Award. That's longer than the get well.
Like, just having that memorized to write down on things.
Oh, of course he has that memorized.
Yeah, that just, it's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, I guess it's nice that she got a get well soon card from her teacher, because at least somebody is expressing concern about her being in the hospital.
I mean,
for a month.
There's a very good chance she got them from other teachers.
But this is the one she's like hanging on to.
This is the one she put under her pillow.
Yeah.
This is the one she's sleeping with under her pillow.
I have never slept with something under my pillow.
Not even a tooth?
I don't remember. I don't think so. No, I think we had like a little jar that we put them in.
Oh, okay. That's easier.
I genuinely don't remember, though. This was, I don't know when the last time I lost a tooth was. 20 years ago? When do you lose your teeth?
How old are you? You're 25?
Yeah. I'm glad you forgot.
I don't think you lost your first. I don't think you lost your last tooth at five.
Oh, yeah, probably not. That doesn't sound right. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems weird to sleep with something under your pillow. Like, wouldn't you be grabbing at it all night?
I sleep on my back, so my hand's not like under my pillow.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yep.
Yeah, she gets the card and then she gets out of the hospital wing.
Yeah.
Well, Ron and Harry find the diary before she gets out, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Ron and Harry are walking in the hallways and they hear Filch getting all pissed. And it's at the scene of the crime from Mrs. Norris getting petrified. So they're like, oh my gosh, maybe there was another attack. Instead, they go into Moaning Myrtle's bathroom and find that she has flooded it because she's upset that somebody threw a book at her.
They find out well beforehand, before getting into the bathroom that's flooded, because it has flooded the hallway.
Yeah.
She has really done a number.
Yes, she has.
And I think Filch is saying that he's going to go tattle on the ghost.
On Moaning Myrtle?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
even more work for me mopping all night. Like I haven't got enough to do. No, this is the final straw. I'm going to Dumbledore.
I don't want to get back into ghost world, but could they kick Myrtle out of the castle?
I think Dumbledore wouldn't allow it, but...
Sure, but if he did...
Yes, they definitely could.
But then why is Peeves still there?
Dumbledore allows it.
Why?
Because he's sheltering these people. Like, we learn later on that Myrtle was haunting someone else and is forced to come back to Hogwarts. This is like...
Right.
We're keeping the ghosts here. They can live here relatively freely and... They're not terrorizing everyone else. If you kick Peeves out of Hogwarts,
yeah, he's going to cause
chaos will
trouble.
Ensue.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Still, once again, I feel bad for Filch that he has to clean the entire castle without magic and now without his cat. Like, this is a rough
he's,
year.
He's
for
got
him.
It bad right now. He's afraid for his life.
Yeah,
because the students know now that he is a squib,
right?
And his cat is petrified.
Yeah.
And he's still cleaning everything up.
Yeah. So in the bathroom, Harry and Ron kind of ask Myrtle what's up. She's all upset because somebody threw a book at her. And
the way, do you know what a U-bend is?
We talked about this before. I do now.
Okay. You can't really throw a book into a U-bend. You can throw a book into the toilet
and
flush
that?
It. She's sitting in the U-bend when it goes through her head. I think someone flushed this.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't throw the book.
But she thinks that.
Yeah.
She feels it was an attack upon her.
On her, yeah. Even though she was hiding in a U-bend.
Right. I feel like other things might go through her. But the bathroom's out of order.
So theoretically, no one's really in there.
Yeah.
And flushing. I feel like if you, as Moaning Myrtle, heard someone sit down, you'd be able to move in time before someone flushed.
I hope she just passes through the pipe. Could you imagine you sit down on the toilet and then Moaning Myrtle just comes right up between your
sure
legs?
She could probably go
either
way.
Yeah, I hope she
way
just passes up.
You know, like she's not restricted by that pipe at all. So she could just go straight through the pipe.
Sure, yeah.
But she might choose to startle the person that chose to use her toilet.
Ugh. Ugh. A lot of things happening here. But Ron kind of cautions Harry. He's like, don't pick that up. It could be your awful magical object. I've heard about all these terrible things that my dad has to deal with at work. And like, you've seen his garage. So like, don't trust anything. But Harry feels this pull toward the diary that I think is interesting.
Yes, but to start out, Ron is very justified in what he's saying. And he gives good examples.
Yeah.
He's like, off the top of my head, here's everyone who reads. Oh.
He's like, this is a book that you have to read for the rest of your life. And
this book will burn your eyes out.
Yeah.
Anyone who reads Sonnets of a Sorcerer speaks in limericks for the rest of their life.
The Sonnets of the Sorcerer thing bothered me, though, because a sonnet and a limerick are different.
But magic sonnets might be the same as limericks. Because this is the Sonnets of Sorcerers. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, there are different types of sonnets, but okay.
Yeah. So, you know, like Ron very quickly comes up with three very bad examples.
And he's right. And this is one of the instances where it's like, oh, yeah, Ron's been in the magical world. He knows things. Like, he can warn Harry, like, hey, there's like evil objects out there that look totally innocuous. So, like, maybe don't go picking everything up.
And just knowing who Ron is as a person, if he's saying that's dangerous.
Yeah, Harry should be like, yeah. Oh, maybe I should listen to Ron. But Harry basically ignores him. He dodges
him
past
out.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we're not going to find anything out just standing here.
Yep.
Yeah. But Harry does feel this pull toward the diary. And as Harry, Ron, and Hermione are like trying to figure it out because it's totally blank on the inside. As they're trying to figure out like how to get information out of it, Harry, there's this line about Harry feeling like he knows TM Riddle, which is the name that's written on the diary. Mm-hmm. He's like, I feel like it's a person that like I knew once, but who I've forgotten. And he knows that that's impossible because he knows that like he didn't have friends as a kid before he got to Hogwarts, but he still has this feeling. And it's something we can't talk fully about because it has implications for later in the series. But I find this so interesting that, like, again, it's here this early.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, we can't talk too much about it. But, you know, there's always this question in my head of, like, how much exactly was planned out and how much did Rowling construct? Like,
and
how
then,
much,
like, go back towards.
Yes.
You know?
And then find things that she could kind of make work with this. And yeah, the level of detail in this book specifically really indicates to me that things were planned.
Yeah, or at least strung together very well.
Yeah, yeah, it's impressive.
But we also find out that T.M. Riddle got a big shield with mm-hmm. his name on it that Ron spent a long time polishing back when he was throwing up slugs.
Yeah.
So about the shield, they can't figure out what it's for. There's no detail on it. And Ron comes up with a bunch of theories of what he could have done. He says maybe he got 30 owls or saved a teacher from the giant squid, or maybe he murdered Myrtle.
Huh.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems weird that he would, that Ron, like, I know Myrtle's not great to deal with, but
this is
for Ron to say, like, oh, it's a good thing that Myrtle got murdered.
I mean, I think he's just annoyed with Myrtle, and they're spending a lot of time in
they're
that
spending
bathroom.
A lot of time in that bathroom. Willingly, I might add.
But this is like an interesting runner throughout the series that, like, Ron's jokes you should pay attention to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Valentine's Day rolls around and Gilderoy has decided that the school needs a little pick me up. So he decides to deck out the Great Hall with Valentine's Day decorations and hire small dwarves to travel around the castle and deliver Valentine's. And this is another instance where I have to question why the non-human people are relegated to service roles.
We don't really hear a lot about dwarves before now.
Or after.
Or after. And I don't know, maybe Gilderoy just thought those were the most Cupid looking.
Like cherub like?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
Judging
don't
by the
know.
Chapter art, no.
Chapter art's something else.
It's very weird. The chapter art, honestly, I'm going to look at it again, but it always in my brain reminds me of Philoctetes from Hercules.
Who?
Phil.
Oh, Phil. Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't look like him, but in my brain, it does. Like when I try to remember what this chapter art looks like, yeah. I just picture Phil.
But yeah. this isn't what I was picturing either when they were described, because they were described as like surly.
Yeah.
I was just picturing like a lot of really jacked.
Like Gimli.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a dwarf.
Yeah. But that chapter art is not like a surly man dressed like Cupid.
No.
That's like a babyish.
And yeah, these guys are big. Like one of them tackles Harry and like holds him down to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Harry sees this dwarf coming, and the dwarf is saying,
I got a Valentine for you, Harry Potter.
I got a Valentine song for you. I'm about to sing for you.
And Harry's like, I'm in front of all of these first years. This is the worst. And then Malfoy rolls up, and so does Percy. And he's like, this is a nightmare.
Yeah. Harry did make this so much worse for himself.
Oh, yeah.
If he had just bitten the bullet then and there, Malfoy wouldn't even have made it in time. It was a very short song.
Yes. And he also wouldn't be tackled on the floor. Yeah.
his bag wouldn't have been ripped open. All his stuff wouldn't be covered in ink.
Have you ever had an embarrassing experience at school like this?
To this extent?
Well, no, obviously you've never been tackled by a dwarf at school, but I'll let you think and I'll tell my anecdote.
Okay.
I believe this was maybe the first grade. I took a green Crayola magic marker and wrote a note to one of my classmates that said, I like you. And I put it on their desk at snack time. And I thought I was being real sly. I did not write my name. But of course, half the class saw me do it and told the person. And I was very upset.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there's plenty, but I have terrible memory. So I don't know if I think of something, you can add it in post. But
okay.
I don't know if I will.
Okay. That's fine.
I honestly can barely even remember most of high school.
Okay. I thought you were going to say like any Valentine's.
Oh, were you asking for a Valentine's specific
thing?
It didn't
have to be Valentine's specifically. I don't think what I did was on Valentine's Day, but.
Okay. Oh, I made chocolates for someone. And
made chocolates?
Well, I like melted them, put them in a mold in like sixth grade.
How old were you? Oh my gosh.
And I wrapped them in a box for my copy of Pokemon Fire Red.
Oh my god.
So I wasn't there when they opened it, but but they I had like taped it onto the box so they didn't have to unwrap it. They could have just slid it open. But they unwrapped it, and then there were just chocolates inside a Game Boy box.
Yeah, and they thought they got a Game Boy game.
Probably.
That's awful.
Yeah.
So as Joe said, the dwarf tackles Harry, and his bag splits open, which is what allows his ink to spill everywhere. And it gets all over all of his possessions.
Including the diary.
But when he later looks at the diary, it's totally clean, which is how he kind of figures out what the deal is with it. And as silly as this whole scene with the dwarf is, I really prefer it to the movie version, in which he just decides to sit down and write, my name is Harry Potter, in this random diary. And it also lets some background details happen in this chapter as far as like who's there to watch and what their reaction is.
Yeah. Yeah, like Malfoy gets his hands on this and is showing off a diary claiming it's Harry Potter's diary.
Yeah.
And he's just waving around in front of everyone and all the first years.
Yeah. And Ginny is there looking mortified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like, we don't know who wrote the
it's
song,
Ginny. It's
but it was probably Ginny.
Ginny. Yeah.
I could also see it being the twins.
No, I don't think they would do something so public and so humiliating like that as a gag.
That's the twins.
I don't know. This doesn't feel in character for them
okay.
to me.
Well, they definitely play it up after the fact.
And that works for me.
Yeah,
that makes
sense very much
to me.
The twins.
But they're not the ones that like publicly humiliated him in the first place. Mm-hmm. They're doing this kind of in good fun. I don't think the song is that bad, though.
It's not.
Everybody
that
razzes
bad.
Him for it. And it's like, it's not that bad.
But it's not great.
The blackboard part is a little
unimaginative.
They just needed
to rhyme.
Yeah. We should probably read the song. Do you want to read the song?
Sure. Let's find it. His eyes are as green as a fresh pickled toad. His hair is as dark as a blackboard. I wish he was mine. He's really divine. The hero who conquered the Dark Lord.
Toad and blackboard don't rhyme.
Blackboard and Dark Lord.
Oh, okay.
You are an English
A-B-A-B. Writer. Okay.
Right? Well, it's A-B-C-B.
Huh. Oh, right, because there's the, like, internal rhyme with, I wish he were mine, he's so divine. That's one line, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I don't think it's that bad. I think it's kind of sweet. Hermione, it's implied, sent Gilderoy a valentine, and I don't like this. I've made my peace with Hermione's crush on Gilderoy, but sending a valentine to your teacher feels a little gross.
I mean, thinking about they would be in seventh grade.
Yeah. They're 12. They're like a little too old for this to work for me.
I think they're just on at the line where like you would still just give your teacher a valentine if you were giving them out to the whole class.
She's not giving them out to the whole class, though.
No.
That's the difference.
Like, yeah. I buy it with everything she's done so far.
Maybe I'm overestimating 12-year-olds in terms of like maturity.
You're going to have to get used to the maturity level of 12-year-olds. And you can report to me next year about how many valentines
we'll return to this. Zero. I'm going to be really mean. So the ink spills all over the diary and Harry kind of figures out that he can write in it and Tom Riddle will write back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, he asks, like, do you know anything about the Chamber of Secrets? Because Hermione pieces together, like, well, the diary's from 50 years ago, and Draco said that the chamber had been opened 50 years ago. So maybe he knows something. And so Harry alone, importantly, goes and does all of this.
I like the detail of Riddle's writing after he's asked that question. His writing becomes untidier as though he was hurrying, to tell all he knew.
Yeah.
So like it's as if the spirit of Tom Riddle is jotting back. It's not just like memories coming back.
Right.
It's like here's almost an AI responding to this.
Okay. I don't know if I like the comparison of AI, but all right.
Well, because these aren't just memories.
It's not a perfect response. It's not like Siri where it's programmed to like when you say this I say that.
Yeah.
It's imperfect. It's a little more human. Sure.
It's very much here's a direct response written in time. Like he's rushing to write all this.
Yeah.
It's not just that these are things ready to be put up for Harry if he asks the right question.
Yeah. And so Harry asks about the Chamber of Secrets and Tom tells this whole story about how they tried to cover it up and somebody died and the real creature was never captured and the person who could open the chamber is still out there.
Yeah, he's not in prison.
Yes. And then Harry asks more questions and Tom's like, I can show you. And Harry gets like sucked into the diary.
Yeah. The diary flips to June 13th.
Yes.
And then the little box that says June 13th turns into a TV screen.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's compared to. It's a literal TV screen.
It's not a literal
It's like
TV
a small
screen.
Window into this. And so Harry like holds it up to his eye to see better and falls into the diary, which I think is visually really interesting. And again, I prefer it to the movie version where the diary just starts like glowing and he gets sucked into it. I thought,
And it compares very well to
later
device that we see later in the series.
Yeah. And on that note, there's an interesting conversation I think we should have with this chapter about the nature of memory, that this isn't the last time that we're going to see characters kind of witnessing others' memories through magic. And so I think it's always important when we see this happening that we need to be aware that we're seeing these events through someone else's eyes. So it's their recollection of what has happened. And it is how, in this case, how that person is choosing to present the events.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting about that, though, is we spent some time in a room with the other headmaster.
Yeah, the old headmaster.
Yeah, the previous headmaster.
We see him reading a letter.
Tom Riddle.
Right. But then Tom appears.
Well, he comes in through the door. Yeah. So this is just
it's
like
a curtain.
through a curtain.
I believe it says that it's a curtain.
There was a knock on the door.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought it was a curtain. My thought was possibly that Tom had been standing there longer than he let on. And so he saw Dippet reading the letter. Or it could just be like an imagined thing. Because Dippet does say to him, like, I was just reading your letter. So Tom's memory of it might have that. Oh, he was reading the letter and then I walked in.
Yeah, and it could also just be the nature of whatever this spell is. You know, Harry doesn't have to be in the footsteps of Tom Riddle.
Sure.
He can be just in the general
free
vicinity.
Movement. Yeah. It's interesting. And of course, we'll never know the specifics of like how it works and why it works that way because it's magic. But yeah, it's an important thing to keep in mind again when we see later like journeys into memory. In the series. So talking about Dippet, I wanted to just see if there was anything interesting to talk about. There's not really. His full name is Armando Dippet. He was the headmaster at Hogwarts before Dumbledore. And there really wasn't anything too thrilling about him. The lexicon comments that his last name is similar to Dip, which they say is slang in the U.S. for someone who is inept and silly. I don't think that that's...
That doesn't sound like American
fair.
Slang.
And also, yeah, I've never heard it used like this. Like, dip to me is like, oh, I'm going to dip. Like, I'm going to leave.
Yeah. Or I just think of fun dip or dipping dots.
Oh my God, that's not slang, Joe. That's food.
That's food. And I'm hungry.
Okay. You shouldn't be. And also, I don't think that we get the impression from this chapter that Dippet is inept or silly.
Definitely not silly. I could see inept in the fact that he is like trying to hush up this dangerous situation where a student died.
Yeah, just not really a character that there's that much on, which seems surprising for a headmaster, but meh. So Dippet has called Tom into his office to discuss a letter that Tom wrote where he basically asks to stay at Hogwarts over the summer. And Dippet basically says, like, I can't allow this. There, especially with what's going on at the school, like maybe in a different situation, we would have been able to come up with something, but there are attacks happening and they're talking about closing the school altogether. And like, we can't let you stay here. And there's an interesting detail that Dippet asks Tom, like, why do you want to stay here over the summer? And Tom's like, he says, I live in a muggle orphanage. My parents are dead. I'm a half blood. And he seems embarrassed to admit that he lives in the orphanage. He like turns red when he has to say it.
Well, yes. Dippet knows that in advance and is asking him, live in a muggle orphanage, don't you? And he says yes while turning red. But then Dippet asks if he's muggle born.
And he clarifies, no, I'm half blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I find this very interesting because we can assume that he might just be ashamed to be an orphan, which we definitely get through Harry. Mm-hmm. But in the context of this book and the big conversations that we're having about what it means to be a muggle born or a half blood in this world and how that blood status is treated differently, I like the suggestion that this is going on and is maybe even more prevalent in the past. That like Dumbledore, that Dumbledore is a very accepting headmaster who, as far as we know, is very welcoming to muggle-born students and like doesn't see that difference and doesn't see that distinction. But we don't know that about Dippet. So I like the implication maybe that like muggle-born students or at least students from the muggle world are not treated so well at Hogwarts right now.
The only thing is like it may have been in general worse, but Dippet doesn't seem to be asking in a demeaning way of
sure.
any sort.
Yeah.
Or in a way that would have changed his answers.
Right. I'm just saying, like, it's a situation where, like, when you watch old Disney cartoons, they have that thing of, like, these represent the attitudes of the time, and it's different now. So, yeah, I'm just saying this in a sense of, like, I'm curious about what the climate was like at Hogwarts at the time.
At the time, yeah.
And the headmaster can be responsible for that, or they might not be. So I found that interesting. And this is, again, another connection point that Harry has with Tom. And there's even more in this memory that Harry looks at Tom and he sees like his dark black hair. He sees that this person has to live in this disconnect between like the muggle world that he grows up in and has to return to over the summer and the wizarding world that he loves and wants to stay in. And Dippet also asks Tom, like, is there anything you want to tell me? Like, is there anything you know? And he says, no. And Harry instantly feels that connection of like when Dumbledore asked him, is there anything you want to tell me? And Harry thought of the voice that he's been hearing, but said no. And so it's this really interesting parallel that's being drawn in this chapter between Tom and Harry.
But it's also interesting to think, like, is it that obvious? Is Harry putting that together just because he was just in that situation? Or are they both being so clear and transparent in their quick responses that, yes, something is up, but I'm not telling you right now? Because both headmasters drop it, but neither seem convinced.
Sure. I don't know. And I think it's another interesting thing of the way that someone chooses to present themselves in this memory, that we have to wonder, how much of a one-to-one connection is this? Like, is Harry just looking in on Tom? Or does Tom maybe know something about Harry? Like, is this a two-way street where Tom can kind of look into Harry and learn some things about him? And
yeah, we're really just taking this diary's word,
right,
in the idea that this is a perfect memory,
yeah,
and not just a scene that was created.
So I like the idea that Tom maybe could discover, like, oh, Harry's lied about things to the headmaster too. He's had things that he's hid. I like the idea that Tom can maybe see that and maybe present a version of the events that Harry will understand, and that'll make Harry sympathetic to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We should talk actually a little bit about Tom's name. So Tom obviously comes from Thomas, and it's obviously a very common name. And
but he does tell Dippet that Tom is after his father.
Right.
Tom Riddle.
Yes. Who we know is the muggle half of his blood.
Yes. And then Marvolo is after his grandfather.
Yes. So to focus on the name Thomas first, it actually comes from Aramaic, which I did not realize.
Okay.
It's Thomas the Apostle, obviously, is like the old Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to try to pronounce the Aramaic version of the name, but it apparently means twin or leader. And I think the twin bit is interesting in that parallel that we talked about between Harry and Tom.
Mm-hmm.
So you can read into that what you would like. Marvolo, which, as Joe said, comes from his mother's side of the family, is an invented name that Rowling came up with. It's not a reference to anything. To me, my brain always jumps to Malvolio in Twelfth Night, the Shakespearean play.
Okay.
Just because it sounds a little similar. But we can talk maybe more about how she came up with that name later on. And then Riddle is an interesting one. Because, again, at face value, it's something that seems very like, oh, that's just a common last name. But when we think of what a riddle is, it's a puzzle. It's something you have to kind of figure out, something that maybe tries to lead you in the wrong direction. And yeah, it's a fun one here.
It's a fun one while also being a very just kind of bland, almost like throwaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Rowling does a lot of. So I enjoyed that. But so Dippet basically tells Tom, like, we can't let you stay here, and the school might be closing anyway, just because of how bad things have gotten. Like, a girl just died. And mm-hmm. So Tom says, if the attack stopped, like if somebody was caught, would it be possible? And Dippet's like,
why do you say that?
Yeah. Like, theoretically, but what do you know? And Tom's like, nothing. And then just goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't feel the need to do the play-by-play of all of this, but Tom goes down to the dungeon and waits, and here's someone with a very familiar affectation, I guess is the way to put it. And we discover that it was Hagrid, age 13,
yep,
with
Rubius
some kind
has a
of creature.
Many-legged, let's see the description. A vast, low-slung, hairy-bodied creature with a tangle of black legs and a gleam of many eyes and a pair of razor-sharp pincers.
Yes. And the scene kind of plays out where Tom says, like, a girl has died. We need to catch the culprit. Like, it's time to come clean, Hagrid. And so we're left to believe that it was Hagrid who opened the Chamber of Secrets 50 years ago. And
Hagrid does say, you know, she never hurt anyone. She wouldn't do that. And Riddle responds in an interesting way of like, you know, maybe you just let it out for a walk. You know, maybe you were just letting it stretch its legs. I know you didn't mean for this to happen, but it did.
Yeah. And so it's an interesting way of allowing Hagrid a little bit of innocence in this situation. That, like, first of all, he's a kid. And this isn't the podcast where we're going to talk about the legal system and how the legal system treats minors, but we can at least assume that he was granted a little bit of leeway because he's a minor. And then secondly, it seems like all of this is portrayed as an accident. So it makes sense then that Hagrid wouldn't be locked up in prison for all of this.
Yes. Additionally, we've seen Hagrid deal with
we know
some problem yeah. creatures that he clearly shouldn't be dealing with.
Yeah.
So this is all very believable right now.
Yeah. And the most important thing that we learn is Hagrid's age. Because this was exactly 50 years ago. Hagrid was 13. So Hagrid is 63 years old. Yeah. I think it's mentioned in this chapter. Or maybe Hagrid mentions previously that he was expelled in his third year. Maybe it's not mentioned here. I think at Philosopher's Stone, when Harry asks why Hagrid doesn't have a wand, and Hagrid replies, like,
yes,
I was expelled in my third year.
Yeah, that does sound right.
Yeah, but we do know now, first of all, why Hagrid was expelled and how old he is. Mm-hmm. I was joking when I said that's the most important part of this. It's obviously not. Yeah, and that's kind of the chapter. It's weird because, like, this is a lot that happens, but it's hard to talk about.
So much of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's all I have. Is that all you have?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, Harry fills Ron in.
Yeah. Well, not really. He
looks
jolts
up and goes,
like, onto the bed.
It was Hagrid.
Yeah. Hagrid opened the Chamber of Secrets, and poor Ron is probably, like, sleepy, just coming up to bed, and he's like, what? yeah, but that kind of leads us into the next chapter, which we're not going to talk about yet because that's next week, but we are going to talk about the spell of the week.
And the spell this week was used by Hermione.
Yes,
when
Herms.
She was trying to nope.
You don't like Herms?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
That's a
nope.
All right.
Was used by Hermione when she was trying to reveal what was inside Tom Riddle's diary. Or at that point, they just knew it was T.M. Riddle.
Yeah.
But the spell is Aparacium.
Yep.
Aparacium is a charm. It is the revealing charm. A charm that reveals secret messages written in invisible ink or any other hidden markings written using other means such as concealing charms. A bit of the etymology, the Latin word apario, which I doubt I'm saying correctly, means to become visible or to appear, which...
Could have guessed that.
Yeah, absolutely. Other than that, there's really not a lot of information. I can let you know that this is the last time it's named.
Oh, boy. All right.
The first and last time.
I'm sure
so
it's
this
in,
one spell that doesn't work.
I'm sure it's in, like, some of the dumb video games or something.
Yes, it is in some of the video games. It's in the trading card game. It shows up in the Wonder Book Book of Spells. And it's theorized it might have been used in Prisoner of Azkaban without being officially named.
Okay.
So
we'll talk
let's
about
see
that
if we can figure
like
that out when
half.
That happens. Or maybe we'll just breeze over it and not notice.
Yeah, I think we'll notice because I think I know what you're talking about. yeah, but that's kind of what we got for the episode. We don't have any emails to discuss, but you can email us at owlpost@potrificustotalis.com with your thoughts and your comments and your corrections and really just about anything. So send it over to owlpost@potrificustotalis.com. And then you can also find us online. We have a website called potrificustotalis.com where you can find detailed show notes and listen to the episodes and send us an email from the website if you don't know how to send an email. And you can follow us on Twitter @potrificus. You can like us on Facebook and do a whole bunch of other things. And you can review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser or wherever you like to write reviews. And we'll be really happy if you do that. And you can find us wherever you find podcasts. I feel like I'm doing this really weirdly.
And yeah, you're like,
I don't know.
Wherever you find podcasts.
I don't want to pressure anybody.
if you wanna.
Yeah. And then you can definitely, this is not if you want to or not, you have to join us next week for chapter 14.
Cornelius Fudge.
My favorite dessert.